Man, how about Christopher, y'all? He has got a gift for sure. All right, right now it's our time for giving. We're going to pass the baskets. There are several ways you can give. You can give via cash, via check, just put it in the basket. We also have a red box in the very back there. Logan mentioned prayer request slips in your bulletins. If you have a prayer request, please put it in that box back there, the red box. We would love to pray for you and to stand with you and to check on you. Yeah, just throw your wallet in there, Shay says. There's also a Tithely app, and here you can scan a QR code and get in with our Tithely app and give that way. Or text give to this number here on the screen. Let's see. Why is it important to give? Giving is an act of worship. Just like what we all did there just now, worshiping and singing, giving is also an act of worship. He calls his people to honor him with the first of their fruits, the very best. And under the Old Testament, the tithing was established as a way to support the work that God and that God was doing through his people. In the New Testament, believers were encouraged to give willingly, generously, and cheerfully, not out of guilt or obedience. So pray, ask God, what should I give today? And just do it with a glad heart. It's better to do it with a glad heart. At Serenity Church, we're not a wealthy church, if you hadn't noticed. yet, God has been keeping us here for 20 years now. Somehow we've made it. We would love to receive your gifts and your offerings to help this church go. And where does that go? It goes to the Shipwrights Ministry. It goes to supporting homeless people, backpacks. It goes to the Children's Ministry, sponsorship. Maranatha Ministries. We give to Maranatha Ministries also. And that is Pastor Stefan and Katya Klausman. They are ministers, and they go into prisons all around the world in different countries, and that's who we give to with our tithing as a church. Let's see. Thank you for your gifts. We have a very handsome, wonderful volunteer here passing out Bible pens and bulletins, my husband. And if you need one of those, please raise your hand and he'll get that to you. My beefcake husband. Yes. The topic for the month is obedience. And I know lots of us were out last weekend for the 4th of July. And if you missed Aunt Lori's message, she brought it. You can view those past messages on our YouTube channel, Serenity Church in Louisville on YouTube, or you can go to our website, serenitychurch.org. And let's be real. Who gets a warm and fuzzy feeling when they hear the word obedience? I'm a little bit like Aunt Lori. I can relate to her, where that feeling does not make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. It makes me cringe just a little bit. And when I hear the word obedience, my mind immediately goes to obedience training, like the one you would take your dog to. And many years ago, I mean, not too long ago, I was about 13. I had a wonderful dog, and she was a beautiful Dalmatian, and her name was Casey. And I was given this dog by my boss, and she said, "You can have it as long as you take it to obedience training." And I took her to obedience school, and that dog became the sweetest, most well-behaved dog I ever owned. And obedience training is a wonderful thing for dogs. It really works. But obedience training, in my mind, I think I'm not a dog. So I really don't like the idea of obedience training for me. And I'm a little bit of a rebel, too. I don't know if there's any of those in here. But so while working on this message, I know. She knows all about it. Mom's here tonight. And her sponsor, and I'm sure she knows all about her rebelliousness, too. So thank you for being here, y'all. It's a blessing. So while I was working on this message, I started to change the way I looked at obedience. And if you've ever been in a good obedience class for dogs, you will discover that they actually spend more time training the owner of the dog than they do the dog. They teach the owner how to lead with confidence, how to hold the leash correctly, how to communicate clearly to the dog, and how to become a leader instead of letting the dog lead them all around. The dog isn't the only one being trained. You are also being trained, too, in how to walk in the role of an alpha. And that made me think about my own walk with God. Obedience, in the biblical sense, isn't about God treating us like dogs, that we need to be controlled. Obedience, in the biblical sense, is a loving father, the alpha, leading and teaching his children how to walk with him, trust him, and allow him to protect us. Amen. And follow his lead. Instead of insisting to go our own way and pulling God our own way, which he really doesn't work that way. I don't know if you've tried it before, but it never works. So God needs to lead us. And so by the end of today's message, my prayer is that you'll see obedience through a completely different lens, and it won't give you a crazy feeling inside, a cringe feeling. Obedience is not a harsh command, but an invitation to trust the one who knows exactly where we need to go. I think for some of us Serenitarians, this is one of the biggest misconceptions we have about obedience. Yes. The culture tells us that obedience is connected to control, loss of freedom, punishment, or blind submission. Yes. But in Scripture, obedience is connected to love, trust, protection, wisdom, worship, and relationship. I am less likely to rebel against God's word when my perspective is on the love of the Father, not the controller and the punishment of a rigid, harsh master. So I want to make a few points about obedience tonight. And the first one is, obedience is not God taking something from you. It's God protecting everything you are created to be. Proverbs 3:12 says, "The Lord corrects those he loves, just like a parent corrects the child they delight in." Just like a good father protects his child by holding their hand while they cross the street, a little child will run right into the traffic if you let them. So what a father will do when there's traffic, he will take that little kid's hand, his child, walk them safely across the street, or even pick them up and get them to the other side safely, because he knows exactly what would happen if he let that baby run into the street. Many of us have experienced what it's like to run head-on into sin. Woo! A big old cannonball right into the deep end of sin. And last weekend, I got to see Shay do quite a few cannonballs into his pool. So I've heard lately, go off to the races. Many of us know how to go off to the races and mash our foot on that gas pedal of sin, and we fully know where that gets us and what consequences come with those choices. Our Heavenly Father also knows what will happen. And so our Father in heaven is asking us to be obedient to his word in order to protect each one of us from those consequences. Trust God and surrender to his will. The best way to live life in the safety of our Heavenly Father, his word directs us and protects us and transforms us in who we are made to be. The next point I want to make is, obedience is God's love language. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Who knows that love is much more than just a word? Love is an action, right? Yes. We love to hear the words, "I love you." They're beautiful words to hear. But if there's never any action in those words, they are meaningless words. You can say, "I love you," so many times and not have any action behind it. And soon someone will just give up on you. Like, "You don't love me." Think about a healthy marriage. When we have different ways, we all have different ways that make us feel loved, and our spouse needs to know that. Some people feel loved through physical touch, others through quality time, others through gifts and acts of service, or encouraging words, like you're handsome, you're a beefcake. I think I've discovered Logan loves that. For me, I like a little bit of everything, okay? Are you taking notes? I like it when Logan rubs my hair or gives me a random big hug. I like it when we sit together and we have fun and we laugh and we say playful things. And yes, I definitely don't mind a surprise or two here and there. He showed up with orchids the other day, which really are my favorite flower, and that was really nice. Yeah, those things communicate love to me in ways that words alone could never do. Logan's love language, on the other hand, is a little different than mine. He he enjoys physical touch, like most of you guys in here. But he especially enjoys receiving thoughtful gifts and acts of service, like me cleaning the house and giving a comfortable place to live, me cooking a nice dinner. He loves eating, if you didn't know that. he loves coming home and feeling relaxed in his home, and that gives him a feeling of love from me. That's meaningful. Now think about our relationship with God. Jesus tells us exactly what we need to do to love him. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Notice he didn't say, if you love me, you will tell me. He said, if you love me, obey me. And obedience is not about earning God's love. We already have his love, his unconditional love. Obedience is our loving response to the one who first loved us, who saved us, who rescued us, who provides for us, who protects us, who longs for a relationship with you, with each one of you, a personal relationship. When we obey God, we're saying, Lord, I trust you, I honor you, I value you more than what I want. I see what you're doing in my life, Lord, and nothing else is more important than having this. So I'm going to be obedient. Did you get that?
Yes, ma'am.
Obedience is love put into action. Doesn't sound so cringy now, does it? Just as our actions communicate love to our earthly relationships, our obedience communicates our love and trust toward our Heavenly Father. That's why obedience isn't cringy at all. It's one of the greatest acts of worship we can offer to God, who is completely worthy.
Amen.
The next point I have is, for biblical obedience, is obedience brings freedom, not bondage.
Amen.
Not bondage. Jesus said, if you continue to obey my teachings, you are truly my followers. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. I'm currently reading a really cool book that I discovered. It's called Doctrines of the Bible, and it's written by some Mennonite elders, I think about 20 of them, and it was written in the 1920s. I bought this book when I went on my adventure with Angela Barrett to upstate New York. Upstate New York is much different from New York City. I had an amazing time with her and her sweet family and her sweet church. I love you, Angela, if you're watching tonight. This book that I want to talk about talks about Satan as an angel of light. And one of the biggest games that he plays and his minions play with us is to tell us that truly following Jesus is something that robs us of our liberty and holds us in a narrow, slavish, unsatisfactory life. And the way, or the path that Satan recommends, is deliverance from this unsatisfactory Christian life. What is being offered here by Satan is a false release from bondage and oppression that following Jesus will result in. And that's an absolute lie of the enemy. I know for a fact, and I've heard some amens, so you know too, from many trials and errors, the way of Satan offers this true bondage and slavery. The angel of light looks so good until he has you in his claws and you realize that the roaring lion has you who seeks to devour you. I've opened my eyes many times in dark places wondering, how the heck did I get here this time? And how the heck am I going to get out back into the sunlight of the Spirit? Any of y'all been there?
Yes.
Well, I've got good news. It's easy. It's easy to get out of there. It's not complicated. It's hard, but it's not complicated, okay? Repent and turn away.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are in sin right now, repent and turn away at once. You do not have to live in this sin and shame any longer. You do not have to live in this darkness. This secret that you may be living with, you don't have to live there anymore.
Amen.
It's just one step away, and that's repent and turn away. We need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. How do we find the truth, y'all? We open our Bibles. We play some sermon music in the car. Some sermon music. Worship music. Worship music in the car, and also sermons. We listen to sermons and worship in the kitchen while we're cooking, cleaning the house. On the way to Houston and back again to get my daughters, we get into small groups. We join life groups. Most of us go to a Sunday church where they offer those things. We have overcomers here. We work the steps. We get a sponsor. We pray. We get on our knees if we can do it still. If we can't do it, we sit on the side of our beds. All of these things will help us live in the truth of God. And I want to share one more piece of this book that I got in New York. I found this so interesting and right on point. And it's still valid today. There's a section of the Bible that talks about Eden and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the six-step process that took her to the fall. And this is still true today. The first step that took her to the fall is the entrance of the tempter. The serpent comes in and whispers a lie. He told Eve that if she ate the fruit, she should not surely die. And God knows that if you eat the fruit, you won't die, but you'll be like God if you eat the fruit. That captivated her attention. It got her attention, and she thought, okay, tell me more. The next step is indifference. She allowed the serpent and his charm to stay. She was indifferent to the abundance of the garden, which was all around her. She was indifferent to the goodness and the truth of God. He walked with them every day in the garden, and she was indifferent to that. All the blessings that she had been given and enjoyed. Is there something really better? The next step she had was unbelief. She doubted God's word. He told her, don't eat that. If she believed God's word, the fruit would never look good.
Yeah.
She would say, oh, no, that's not true. He told me it's not good. And the next one is ambition. She wanted to be like God. Once selfishness and self-centeredness kicked in, she became blind and closed her eyes to goodness and the love of God. Ambition began to assert itself and lead her to see a fantasy. The book says the ambition led her to see imaginary stars, fantasies. Ooh, if I do this, this is what's going to happen to my life. And then disobedience came. Ambition coupled with blindness got her to reach her hand out and grab that forbidden thing. And through the disobedience of her and Adam, sin entered the world. And then the last step is death, spiritual death and physical death. Adam and Eve became mortal, and they were separated from the Father they had been walking with in the garden. This is the process in which we still get deceived and turn towards sin, which leads to death. This has been happening since creation. So let's just be aware of this. Let's not be fooled. Let's pray that our eyes are opened to these sinful lies that the enemy gives us and turn away at once. All right, the next point that I want to make, point number four, is obedience is walking with God, not just following rules. And I love this song, and I'm going to try to say it without cracking my voice. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Okay, that's as good as it's going to get. Psalms 23. Who knows that song? I've been listening to that song all weekend. I'll post it on my Facebook, and y'all can listen to it too. I love it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. He's with me. He's with you. He's with you. You don't have anything to fear. God never promised that our walk with him would mean a life without hardship. In fact, Jesus told us that this world will have trouble. We will experience trials. We will experience seasons of uncertainty. We will be in valleys sometimes. We will have spiritual attacks. But here's the incredible promise. We will never walk through those valleys alone. Amen. Our good shepherd walks every step with us. Obedience isn't simply following a list of rules from a distant ruler who puts a big X every time you mess up. Obedience is staying close to the shepherd so that we hear his voice, we know his voice, and we trust where he's leading us. And here is something that has helped me so much, because I mess up, y'all. I mess up. I'm like that crimson worm. Sometimes I really mess up. And even when I stumble, even when I fall, even when I make stupid decisions, our shepherd doesn't abandon me. He does not abandon his sheep. He doesn't say, oh, Jesslyn, you messed up. There you go. Get on out of here and go to the wilderness. Good luck with those wolves. Instead, he lovingly calls me back. He restores me when I repent and continues to lead me because he is faithful. Even when I have been unfaithful, he is always faithful. The goal of obedience isn't perfection. The goal of obedience is staying close to Jesus. Because when we are walking with the shepherd, we are always walking in the safest place we can possibly be. The next point is, obedience is where we experience God's blessings. I like blessings.
I love blessings.
If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, and these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And that's in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Obedience is where we experience God's blessings. Not because we earn our salvation, but because we are motivated, and not because we are motivated by selfish gain, but when we are joyfully worshiping God through obedience is when we see his blessings come. God has a divine design in your life. He's already prepared a path for you. And as we walk with him along that path he has for you, he has put these blessings on this path. So as long as you're walking with him, he's blessing you with provisions. He's blessing you with peace. He's blessing you with purpose. As we walk in obedience with him, we discover the goodness he has lovingly prepared for us along the way. Okay, I'm going to try to do this without crying. I want to brag about someone for just a minute.
All right, honey.
And yes, I admit I'm a little biased because I love her dearly. I remember the very first time she walked through the doors of Serenity Church. This tall, beautiful, long-haired woman walking with her shoulders back and confidently saying, "Where's Logan Williams?" And I thought, who in the world is this sassy woman asking for my husband? Yeah. That thought does not stay so long anymore, but yeah. I was like, who is this woman? And it was Kristen Perez. But behind that confidence was a woman who was fighting one of the hardest battles of her life. When Kristen first came to Serenity Church, she was living in a sober living home with her daughters. Later, she had to leave and move in with her aunt temporarily. And after that, Michael and Susan Hill graciously opened their home to her and her little girls. Life didn't suddenly become easy because Kristen stayed sober. And it didn't become easy because she decided to follow Jesus again. She faced one challenge after another: job changes, housing struggles, uncertainty, disappointment, obstacles that would have caused many people to turn back and give up. But Kristen kept saying yes to God. She kept walking right next to him. She worked the steps through with honesty and thoroughness. She recommitted herself to her church family at Life Fellowship. She had been going there since she was a teenager. She became involved in Free Indeed. She began serving others instead of selfishly focusing on herself and her own problems. She served here. She jumped all in right away. She chose obedience one step at a time. And little by little, I could see God rebuilding what had been broken into something beautiful. If you see here, this is the picture where she first got here. That don't even look like her. Today, she is over a year sober.
Amen.
How many? 2 years next month. Go, girl. She has her own place. She has a reliable transportation, a reliable job. She has her boys in her life for the first time ever. She strives to be the best mom she can be every day. But if you ask Kristen what her greatest blessing is, I don't think she would point out that apartment or that car or that job. I think she would point out the fact that Jesus changed her heart and made her into a new creation. That doesn't even look the same. Doesn't even look the same. And that's really the miracle that we get to experience here. Stick around, y'all. People like Kristen come in all the time. Look at her now.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She shines God's light everywhere she goes. I had the privilege of going with Kristen this week to Driven Reentry, a wonderful, wonderful, excellent women's home. We shared a meal with these beautiful ladies, and Kristen brought a message that night. She spoke about true freedom in Christ, and I watched her as she spoke, and I couldn't help but be in awe as I watched and listened to her talk about how God has changed her. And she is a warrior, y'all, a warrior for the kingdom of God. Here is a woman once needing someone to pour into her, now pouring into others. She wasn't speaking from a textbook that night. She was speaking from a transformed life. Amen. Through the obedience of Christ. That's what obedience does. It doesn't mean the road will always be easy. It doesn't mean that we continue to trust God and faithfully follow him, and he transforms us, he restores us, and being used, also using our greatest pain into our biggest blessing, our biggest purpose. That's what he does. The blessings of obedience aren't just what God gives us. Sometimes the greatest blessing is who God makes us become. God is always blessing us, but it's not always by improved circumstances. He is blessing us by conforming us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the last point that I have is Jesus himself modeled obedience. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on the cross. That's Philippians 2:8. Christopher, you can come on up. As we come to the end of this message, I want us to look at the greatest example of obedience the world has ever seen. In the days leading up to the cross, Jesus knew exactly what was waiting for him. He knew the betrayal, he knew the mockery, he knew the beating, he knew the nails, he knew he would bear all of our sins. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus wasn't looking forward to suffering. In his humanity, he felt the weight that was ahead of him, but he chose obedience. Why? Because he loved the Father and because he loved you. Love. Love was greater than his desire to avoid pain. Jesus' obedience changed everything. Because he obeyed, we have forgiveness. We have hope. We have eternal life. And because he obeyed, we can boldly go to the throne and call God our Father. When we hear the word obedience, we don't want to think about punishment. We don't want to think about control. We don't want to think about rules or something getting taken away from us. We want to think about love, just like Jesus did. Obedience is trusting the heart of our Heavenly Father. It is following the Good Shepherd because we know he is good and we know he's going to protect us and provide for us and take care of us. It is saying, "Lord, I don't always understand what you're doing here. I don't understand what's going on, but I know you love me and I trust that." Every one of us here tonight will leave this place today with an opportunity to obey God. Every one of you right now, think about this. What is he asking you to do right now? Maybe he's asking you to forgive somebody. Maybe he's calling you to surrender a hidden sin, to turn away. Maybe he's asking you to start serving somewhere or giving a little more. Maybe he's inviting you to trust him with your future. Or maybe he's calling you right now to go all in for the first time ever. Don't delay. Whatever it is, don't delay. Every act of obedience is another step closer to the heart of God and another step closer to transformation. I mean, did you see Kristen? Transformation is possible. It's not just for Christian. It's not just for me, for Logan, for Shay. It's for everybody. My prayer is that when we leave here today, we no longer see obedience as a burden. Instead, may we see it as a joyful response to a loving Savior who first loved us. He gave his life for us and proved that his plans are always better than ours. Yeah, because obedience isn't about losing your life. Jesus said it best, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." Obedience is finding who you are. He's going to give you the life that you've created. He's created you for. The greatest life you ever have is the one fully surrendered to Christ. When I started this message, I told you I didn't really like the word obedience, but after studying God's word, I realized something. Obedience isn't a leash that God puts around our necks. It's a loving hand of a good, good Father leading us down a path of life in a fallen world. The question isn't, do I have to obey God? The question is, why wouldn't I follow him? Why wouldn't I obey him? He is worthy. There is no question about that. He is worthy. And obedience is love. So close your eyes and let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word that is so clearly written in Scripture. The path that you want us to take is all right there for us to read. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for being a good shepherd, a good father who never leaves us or forsakes us. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Even when we were enjoying our sins, he died for us. Lord, there is someone here tonight, and they have never fully gotten all in with you. They want to make that choice tonight, but don't know how. Lord, I pray that they are given the courage to ask you to help them. Ask you to help. Ask someone to show them how to do it. Give them the courage to ask Logan or Kristen or Shay or Trina or Aunt Lori or Uncle Bill, Tina, to help them figure this journey out. There is someone here tonight struggling in disobedience, Lord. Someone who has hidden sin, and maybe the enemy has charmed them and deceived them, and they have these ideas in their head that this sin is okay and this is going to be cool for me. And God, I pray that you remove the blindness, the spiritual blindness that they're experiencing right now, and show them the truth. Lord, you know who you're working with in each one of us. Touch our hearts tonight, Lord. Continue to transform us into your Son's image. Lord, help us to speak your love language and faithfully walk beside you, allowing you to lead us. We need you, Lord. We need your help every hour, every day, every moment. Thank you for your blessings, your provisions. Thank you for every person in these seats tonight, every single person here tonight, listening online, Lord. Lord, you are a good Father and worthy of obedience. Draw us into you, Lord God. Cover us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.